This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
Thanks, buddy. And you bought me a hot chocolate. Thanks.
That's the Dunkin' one.
Didn't you get anything?
I did. I drank it. Oh. I had a coffee.
Thanks, guy.
You like your hot cocoa.
It is hot chocolate, right?
Yeah. You should open it up. Smell it.
I'm smelling it. I thought I smelt a little bit of coffee.
No.
I've never had a coffee in my life.
No, don't do that, Dan. If you think
is it a coffee?
No, there's no coffee.
Oh, then it's okay.
No, just double check it.
No, I can smell it.
Because it's a coffee place.
Oh, yeah, that's coffee, dude.
No, it's not.
That's a coffee.
That's a hot cocoa.
Taste that. That is not hot cocoa.
That's cocoa.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's weirdo. It's more like weirdo. That ain't cocoa. That ain't cocoa. That's a big steaming hot glass of weirdo. Oh, my God. Where did you buy that? At the Dunkin'. Pioneer Village?
What? Hold
on. Dunk it in the toilet. Never let me see it again. Whoa. Good night. Good night, Nelly Furtado. What the hell? What is... That guy poisons me.
I didn't take any fucking water.
What's this?
That's just a cup of water.
Oh, I don't need anything to drink, really.
What the fuck?
What's it? Now I get an empty one? Wow.
Bro,
went from my cup runneth over to my cup ain't got nothing.
Wait, let me give you.
No, I'm good.
What did that cocoa freak me out for?
I know you got more weirded out
because
than I
did. Because you're like, I can't have a coffee. I don't want
No, it's not I can't have a coffee. I've never had a coffee.
You've never tasted coffee?
I've had one sip my whole life.
You want some water?
No, I'm good, bro.
Okay,
Thank you. Tell me
why.
Because when I was a kid, all the adults were like, man, you're thirsty, huh?
Yeah.
I ain't seen glugging like that since I got lost in the Sahara in 74. But when I was a kid, all the adults were like, oh, yeah.
Thank you. He brought me this.
It's a fridge magnet knife with the Scream character on it.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, no, I saw it. I thought of you. I was at a horror museum thing.
Where?
Somewhere in Illinois somewhere. It was like a horror-themed shop in a little town. And they had all kinds of horror. It was all just horror stuff. And I saw that. I thought, I got to get that for the kid.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm still on this coffee thing.
Oh, yeah. So when I was a kid, I saw the adults, you know, I'm looking up because I'm a kid. So all I hear is like, oh, I can't stop drinking coffee. Oh, I'm addicted to coffee. Oh, I wish I didn't drink 4 cups a day. Oh, so in my mind, I went, well, I'm never going to drink it, so I don't have that problem. So I never had it my whole life.
Wow.
And then one day I was on set, we're shooting a scene at a coffee cart, and I told the prop master, I said, I've never had coffee, and the scene was I had to buy a coffee and drink it. I said, put Coke in it, Coca-Cola. He forgot, and so in the middle of the scene, I went, and I was like, I didn't want to blow the scene, so I swallowed it. The first sip of coffee I've had my whole life, and it was a fluke until now. But I think that was hot cocoa, but it just tasted demented.
Well, then I sipped it.
I know. Didn't it taste a
You're
little demented?
You're clean, aren't you?
Not really.
But I had a good...
Well, didn't it taste a little demented? Like, it didn't taste... I feel bad because you got it for me, but
no,
something...
it didn't taste so chemically. Maybe they changed it.
Something was a little weird. Like, I think someone put a chlorine tablet in it or something.
Do you think so?
Like, there's something off. Like, I saw when you look in your hot drink and there's sea monkeys swimming around, that ain't a good sign. Like, the ones you order on the back of a comic book from 1972, yeah.
What do you really want to know?
What do I want to know?
Yeah.
Oh, you have all the answers?
For that coffee. It's not a coffee.
What was it?
It was hot chocolate.
It was?
Yes.
But it was a demented. I find Dunkin' Donuts, and they're not a sponsor. I don't endorse them.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny? I'm not even about to say anything nice, but I don't find their hot chocolate very good. It's always a bit ambiguous. It always tastes like someone got like 8 or 9 salamanders and grinded them up with one of those chemical mallets and just poured the juice in.
I love Dunkin', the coffee. It's a creature comfort.
Okay.
But I have to, this is so funny. I knew it. I knew you. This is why you're brilliant, dude.
What?
Because you just, there's nothing that gets by you.
Oh, so it was coffee.
Not a coffee.
But it was off. You did something to it.
Okay. I, every day, drink a hot chocolate.
You do?
Every day. I just started doing it about a month ago.
My guy.
But it's called Bone Broth Hot Cocoa.
Oh, no. Where'd you order at the Discovery Channel?
Bone broth, cocoa, maple syrup, collagen, and milk and real milk.
Oh,
you drink real milk? You drink real milk?
I would have rather had a coffee. That's like 29 years of Hollywood in one glass.
No, but have you heard of it?
No, until now.
Do you know what it is?
No, and I don't want to.
Dude, it's incredible. It regenerates your stem cells.
Yeah.
Do you know what cacao is?
It also fills up your toilet when you dump it out.
So that was a homemade hot cocoa.
But you put it in a Dunkin' cup.
Yeah, because I have a bunch of Dunkin'.
To deceive me.
No, I put it in a Dunkin' cup because
Trickery.
Yeah, but not a used Dunkin' cup.
I know, but just still a Dunkin', a branded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew right away. See, because I never drink hot.
But there's no coffee in it. Those are clean cups because I had a coffee.
Oh, the cup's clean, but the concoction you made, Lord Frankenstein, is, I mean, holy God.
Did it taste that weird?
Dude, it tasted
this is
like,
so funny.
It tasted like a placenta mixed with sea turtle diarrhea.
That's what bone broth hot chocolate is.
Good God.
It's amazing for you.
I don't care about what's amazing for me.
Sweet.
I like taste.
You didn't taste sweetness?
Yeah, but it was way off. I like
Canadian maple syrup.
Natural. Yeah.
That's what's in it.
But you don't bury maple syrup with bone meat or whatever the hell you're talking. I mean, who drinks that? Jeffrey Dahmer in the morning? Give me some of that bone stuff, will you? Oh, I could eat a family. Oh, I feel great.
A cup of Dahmer.
Where's that preschool down the street? I think I'll go eat me some youngins. I'm jacked on bone marrow and scapula sauce. Yum. Let me get to eating the Johnsons 3 doors down. What the hell's wrong with you?
It's bone broth. You ever had bone broth?
You ever heard of pygmies? God, who do you eat? Who eats bones?
Bones are good for
you. Why do I want bone broth? What do I have, the flu?
No, it's good for you. Bones are good for you.
Real good.
Bones are good.
I couldn't take one sip.
Okay, well, there's nothing in it other than those four ingredients.
Four.
Five.
You know what's good? Chocolate. That's one ingredient.
It's cacao.
And if hot was an ingredient, it would add two.
Cacao.
Cacao sounds like something you do at a campground after you eat beans all night. God, dude, where are we at? Willie Nelson's outhouse?
Dude, you're Canadian.
Yeah, eat real food.
That's a real food. That's Canadian.
Give me a caribou. I don't want soy milk, lechen.
It wasn't any of that. It was milk, real milk.
What's that mean? Like it's not pasteurized?
It's like raw milk. It's good.
Aren't kids dying of that stuff in the prairies?
This all went horribly wrong.
Huh?
I should have just got you the Dunkin' concrete.
But I appreciate the love.
You
probably slaved all morning
like
a pioneer churning butter and mixing your beakers.
Every morning I make one of these. So I made you one.
Oh, dude. But see, when you texted me.
I said, do you want a Dunkin'?
What do you want from Dunkin'?
Because I have a coffee, too.
Right. Did you get a coffee from Dunkin'?
Yeah, I did. I got a coffee.
You couldn't get me a hot chocolate. You had to make.
Let's go here.
You had to go into the laboratory.
So crazy, this story. This is so interesting. Let me tell you what happened.
Man, dangerous.
Already was ordered it, had a coffee.
You did?
Yeah. That was like 4 hours ago. Then made my bone broth, which I do. And then I said, oh, Harlan's going to want something. So because I'm going to have a bone broth and I'll give him a coffee. So I go, you want another coffee? So I'll order a Postmates again. And instead, you said hot chocolate, and all bets were off. You're the first guy that ever wanted a hot chocolate.
That's what all I drank.
But, dude, it's just such a good hot chocolate. When you go home, look it up. Bone broth hot cocoa.
With unpasteurized milk.
No, real milk from, like, Arrow One. So it's like a real milk. Like, fresh. They squeeze it probably this morning.
Right, but right out of the cow. No pasteurization process. No, it's
sold in a store.
Right.
It's clean.
But I saw a thing on like 60 Minutes where a bunch of kids are like dying from drinking that.
I'm pretty sure it's pasteurized. You get it.
I'm pretty sure.
It's the best supermarket.
Dude, I thought we were friends.
I know we are.
I sit down for a little chit chat and all of a sudden I'm calling the funeral parlor on the way home.
Dude,
you got room for one more, O'Malley?
It's regular milk. I'll show you the bottle.
Forest Lawn doesn't know that. They just dig holes in the ground. They don't care how you get there. Milk, stabbings. They just stuff you.
Are you tripping out?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. I'm really worried about the fact that, dude, do you know what stem cells are?
Yes.
These regenerate them.
Right. At 6'2", 225 pounds, do I look like I need any regenerating swamp thing?
No, you look great, and I told you that out
what
there.
What am I, swamp thing over here?
You no, but arm. I want to do it.
Okay.
I'm 6 foot. I'd like to get another 2.
Damn. I want you to know I appreciate the effort. That's what I call a very loving gesture.
I
appreciate that.
I thought it would have worked better.
No, I should turn my phone off. I just heard it make a noise.
You're sitting on
it's
it.
It's probably an amber alert for me because I'm about to die.
What?
God.
From a hot cocoa?
A cocoa alert. I get an amber cocoa alert. It's the new Starbucks flavor, cocoa.
How many weird podcast encounters have you had?
What do you mean?
Because I've seen some clips and you're always great on podcast. Have you ever had an uncomfortable one?
Uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Like meaning in terms of the dialogue or the...
A moment.
Not really, because I can usually handle myself in any situation.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
So even this is like this is a treat.
Okay, good. So
this is not an uncomfortable thing. I'm not looking at this as a faux pas.
Okay.
I'm looking at this as a buddy went out of his way to make me a very special drink.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about it, so I had an adverse reaction to it. And now it's led to a fun sort of back and forth exchange. What other podcast has done 15 minutes on a hot chocolate? Just this one. I mean, we could wrap it up right now and go get a real drink.
First one in the studio.
Yeah. This is a new studio. And already it's ruined. Yeah. Way to go.
But wait, is the
bone keeper here brings it in with a...
Did it taste like shit or you just freaked out?
Well, you got to remember, that's all I drank my whole life. The way you probably know the coffee beans and the aroma, I know hot chocolate because that's all I drank.
Yeah.
So the minute... It was even before I tasted it, I could smell something coming off it, bone marrow or hyena meat or something.
I wish you didn't sip it.
Then I tasted it, I went, this is not hot chocolate. This is like giant's nectar or something.
Don't you try new things?
I do, but not when I don't know what they are. And if they're dangerous, that whole milk stuff is killing children all across
the... Now you got me paranoid that I'm killing. It's not. It's normal milk. I got it at the store.
But you said whole milk, unpasteurized, right out of the...
I just made that part up.
Oh, okay.
It's really good
milk. So it's just like from
milk.
Ralph's?
No, it's from Mother's. It's a little supermarket, health market. But it's not
milk.
Oh, I
shop at the place down the street.
Yeah, you know.
It's right next door. Yeah. They don't have it at Mother's. I go to and they always have it. Yeah.
But so you feel okay?
Oh, I feel good. I probably won't get sick. They usually say the sickness takes about 6 to 8 hours before... Like, even when you get food poisoning, it's never at the restaurant. It's when you go home that night, you're laying in bed, and you wake up, and you go, uh-oh, and then...
Let me tell you this. This is... Okay, so that was a loving gesture.
It was
you said.
Great. I love it.
Now, let
it.
Me
Thank
tell you,
you, friend.
This is coming from another loving gesture.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the restaurant, and I'm in Vegas.
Uh-oh.
And you're there in the corner, and I'm about to start, and you're about to end... And this guy walks over my table and he says, hey, eat this. And it looked like half of a giant salamander. And I'm like, what is that? You go, this is an Australian crab tail. Do you remember that? and that was thick as hell.
No, lobster tail.
Lobster tail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was incredible. Oh. It was probably $400.
Oh.
You only ate half of it.
They're so big.
I dipped it in the butter and all the goo, whatever was on that plate. You gave me a plate of whatever.
Yeah.
And what did I do? I dove right in.
Yeah.
I swirled all in your used butter.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't freak out. And I ate that whole thing.
Right, but don't forget, visually it was all there. Well, and I gave it to you telling you what it was.
You said, try this.
You
this
hid
is like
a toxic liquid in a glass under a lid and deceived me telling it was hot chocolate.
It is
but it was
hot chocolate.
Demented cow urine
it
or something.
It's homemade hot chocolate. This is so not. This is honesty. I mean, honest. This was homemade, amazing health recipe.
Oh, I'm
Can you look it up?
Did I ruin it?
You should look it up.
I feel bad now.
No, I feel worse.
Good.
Wait. Bone broth. Anyone in the comments will say bone broth. Hot cocoa.
See, this is the issue with Hollywood, though.
It's not Hollywood. This is just a health
Everyone
thing.
Just can't have what's what. In Hollywood, it's got to be, you know, marine biology, bacteria, Barney's beanery lipped, corn on the cusp, sea urchin placenta, pancakes.
It's true.
I can't just get a good old flapjack in Hollywood.
It's true.
Like, bro, just hit me with what it is.
I'm not like that, though. I'm like you. But this is. I thought you would be like me because you're Canadian.
Yeah.
But you're not from. You're from Toronto. I thought you were from like Saskatoon. I bet Saskatoon they wake up and eat whale blubber every day.
Well, that would be improbable because it's the prairies. I don't remember ever seeing a baleen whale sifting through the wheat, you know.
Wherever up there, Nova Scotia.
But also, I split my time between city life and nature. And, you know, I was a ranger, a lumberjack. We had a cottage up in the woods.
Okay, so then you know what's up.
Right, but you're getting it wrong. In the north, it's more simple. It's more like meat and potatoes.
That's what that is. That's a bone. That's a bone.
In a hot chocolate.
Yes.
You ain't seen no... I don't even think Eskimos do that crap. I mean, come on, guy. But I appreciate the loving gesture.
Gotcha.
Dude, believe me, it doesn't go unnoticed.
Afterwards, can I buy you a regular hot chocolate?
Yeah, I'll take the flapjack and the hot chocolate. Take the whole breakfast.
Buddy, how long have you been out here?
Out in LA, I've been here since 88, 89, I think.
Same amount of time.
Oh, yeah?
And,
oh, wow.
And you, when did you start comedy?
Oh, I started it before I moved here. I started comedy stand-up in like, I want to say 82, 83, something like that. 84 maybe. Yeah, 1980.
40 years.
Is it that long? Wow, that's the first time I've heard it said out loud.
40 years.
I might need a bone chocolate. Exactly. Wow, get me the bone,
when you
I need the bone. Bone me real quick. Wow.
Wait. You were doing it in 7 years because I say Canadians.
Yeah.
One of their exports is comedy.
Yeah. Well we have a high success ratio for
just hilarious people.
Yeah. The comedy that comes out of Canada is pretty.
Some of my favorite people ever. It's Jews, blacks, Canadians. Can I say that? Like that?
Yeah, yeah. I wish black. Canadians was first, but what if, I wish I was a black Jewish Canadian. Then I'd be like, but I'd almost be Sammy Davis
because
Jr.
I grew up more in the city, so there's a lot of Jewish guys, a lot of black guys, and Canadians I discovered when it came to the biz. But the funniest people I never realized were Canadian.
Oh,
that Martin Short, you, Jim Carrey, John Candy, Eugene Levy, all of the SCT, all these different people.
Yeah, Norm McDonald.
They were all, I never
Leslie
knew
it. Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, amazing.
Matthew Perry, Michael J. Fox.
Insane. Keep going.
Howie Mandel.
Insane.
Yeah.
It's like the export is close to
Eugene
hockey.
Eugene Levy, Rick Moranis, Catherine O'Hara, John Candy. It's crazy.
Dry. Like, you guys will do jokes for yourselves.
Yeah, well, I was having this conversation with someone. Someone asked me what it was, and I said, we had the good fortune of being between the United Kingdom and the States.
That's true.
So the States was below us, and the United Kingdom was to the east of us. And because we were part of the Queen's Commonwealth, we were heavily inundated with British material, Monty Python and all, you know, all that great, absurd, cerebral, twisted humor. And then we were also inundated with the American humor, you know, Animal House and Saturday Night Live, the more over your head stuff. So we had the British influence, the American influence, and then we sort of, because we were like this small little country with 33 million people sandwiched in between, we also had our own kind of weird Canadian culture. And so Canadian comedy is a blend of three, majority the blend of three different influences. And so I think if you can look for any type of difference or something that sticks out, it's because we kind of had that recipe, you know?
That's an amazing breakdown.
I think so. I think, you know, I could be wrong. That's just my interpretation. But, I mean, I grew up going nuts over British humor, like Monty Python and all that stuff. Saturday Night Live was actually...
Lorne Michaels.
I didn't like it. Lorne Michaels is Canadian, the guy who created Saturday Night Live. But I didn't love Saturday Night Live because it was too brazen. It was too sort of John Belushi, you know, in your face, crushing a beer can on your forehead. Whereas British humor was a lot more subtle and absurd. And it sort of took you, it took me at least, it took more of my imagination to get the humor in it versus just it blatantly being like kind of pushed in my face. But that, excuse me, that type of humor has its place as well, you know? So.
Was it water?
No, I'm good, buddy. Just think I have a little bone marrow stuck in my throat.
Jesus Christ, I'm paranoid.
No, you're good. You're good, dude.
So wait, let me ask you this, because you are one of five people, I think. I say this. You're one of three people, two people. You would be the one of the top people that are the hardest to follow.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, you go on stage, you absolutely level a room. We've been doing it since I met you 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And you destroy a room. You have what I call at least a seven traits of comedy. Tell me if I left anything out, right? I think you're just, I like to give people their flowers. And so you are meant to do this. Like, I don't see you doing anything else. Like, Bobby Lee is also somebody who just cannot do anything else. Eric Griffin. They're just people that you just see that I go, there's nothing else they can do but comedy.
Yeah, okay.
And so that's how I see you. But you also, you can do any character. You can do any impression, which people don't know, like, because you don't rely on one skill set. You have jokes, premises, audience work out the ass if you want to, deal with hecklers, and you could just sit there and be completely quiet and wait with your timing. And I don't know if I left anything out, but like that to me is a true comedian.
Wow. Thank you, man.
It's the truth.
Thank you.
Did I leave anything out? Like, because that's what I think, that there's so many different skill sets that people don't talk about. And to me, I look at you and I say, you have the full chest.
Wow. I think comedy is so nuanced. There's so many, the stratification level is, you know, there's so many levels to it. But that's a huge, high compliment. Thank you. And I wouldn't know if there's anything else. I don't necessarily examine that myself. I think you're right. My lot in life, one of my lots in life was to just do this.
Yeah, you have more talents than those. I mean, you're an amazing artist.
Oh, thanks.
You can animate.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I'm an illustrator. And there's.
And do you play instruments?
I don't. I mean, I fiddled around with it a little, but I'm not fluent. Not fluent with it, no. But, yeah, we're lucky we can do this, man.
I just remember going in the factory, and it was like 94.
Yeah.
Pam Thomas.
Yeah, Pam Thomas.
Married to Dave Thomas, Canadian legend. Yeah. And she was a manager, took me under her.
She was your manager?
Yeah.
I got to tell you a funny Dave Thomas story after this.
I can't. Well, it's funny, and I love Pam if she watches this, but she liked box wine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so she was a drunk?
No, she's a sweet lady, but enjoyed a little bit of boxed wine.
Sure.
But she also had an eye. So I met I mean, I met Mike Myers, Martin Short, Paul Feig. I met everyone at her house. She lived in Malibu.
Yeah.
And I'm broke. I'm 23.
Oh, wow.
She plucks me out of Igby's.
Remember Igby's? Yeah. Comedy club.
Starts getting me, the only place in the West Side, I think it's a strip club now, starts getting me development spots, which they don't have anymore. So they used to have at the factory.
Those were fun.
The best. And you were the new, like, hot, amazing sensation from Canada.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's like, that's Harlan. And she knew you from Yuck Yucks. And she's like, he's been killing it from Canada. He's about to blow up here. And I saw you one night, and that's when you're about to get your development deal to WB.
Yeah.
You got Rocket Man. You had like, and I was like right there. And I'm like, you want me to follow him?
Oh,
I got to do 3 minutes. I'm barely have one.
Oh, man.
But no, but dude. That's when I first saw you at the factory.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, and so she just sung your praises.
Yeah.
And then she introduced us.
Wild redhead, right?
Yeah. Nice, great lady.
Oh, yeah, super nice. Yeah, she's amazing.
But what's the story?
So, yeah, there was a point in time when I was hanging out with Dave Thomas from Second City.
If everybody doesn't know, Hosers.
Yeah, the McKenzie brothers.
Legends.
Him and Rick Moranis were the McKenzie brothers, so... Dave and I were developing a movie together, and so we hung out a lot at Jerry's Deli, like, for a brief time, you know, working out the script and the storyline, and it was really fun. And then one day it sort of drifted into his personal life, and he started talking about, you know, marriage and divorce and everything, and it's so Canadian the way he said it. He said... I didn't ask. He just offered it up. We were just chatting. He goes, then we got divorced. And he goes, I'll never forget the day it ended. We were just driving, and she started nagging at me, and I just slammed on the brakes, and I looked at her. I said, see you later, asswipe. And I got out of the door, a car, and slammed the door and walked away. But just that he said asswipe, that's such a Canadian thing to say.
What is that?
I just died. Like, imagine just calling some woman asswipe.
Yeah.
See you later, asswipe. Slam. And that's it. Instead of, I want a divorce, asswipe. And then you just picture a nice white piece of toilet paper with a giant skid mark on it. It's just like, dude. And the way he did, you know, he's so comedic. Like, he was all animated and fired up. And the way he told it, I still laugh about it, man.
I wonder if that was my old manager.
I think it was. Now, it could be wrong, but I don't know if he was married twice, but... I think it was
a
her.
A few times.
And not that she's an asswipe, but whenever you divorce someone, you always have kind of toxic, angry feelings. So, but this was just sort of his visceral way of telling it, and it was so funny. So
she,
Canadian.
She had a big house.
Yeah.
But it was his house.
Oh, man, isn't that always the way?
I used to sleep there.
Yeah.
Nothing weird.
But no, you didn't fool around?
No, she was my 10%er. I didn't want to, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, she was your agent.
Manager.
Your manager, okay.
So, but, like, it's funny, probably today people would get mad at that.
What do you mean?
Because I stayed in there sometimes.
You dated her?
No, I stayed.
You stayed at her
house?
She
had, like, 10 rooms.
Nothing wrong with that.
I know, you know how it is.
Ah.
People get weird.
Yeah.
But she had a big house in Malibu, and he wasn't around.
Yeah.
And she was dating. So I guess that was after post-ass wipe.
See you later.
Ass
wipe.
That's so
just
funny.
The way he said it, the timing.
God, I miss Jerry's. How do you feel like, because you said Jerry's and it's like, I drive around all the time.
Jerry's Deli.
Yeah, and I just, there's so many iconic things that are gone.
Yeah.
How how much is LA changing your mind?
Well, LA is weird because a lot of it doesn't change. Like, I've been here, like, since the 80s.
Yeah, me too.
And structurally, architecturally, you know, urban design and planning-wise, everything's almost exactly the same. I mean, buildings change. Like, they'll rip something down and put it up. But for the most part, man, when I drive through Burbank or I drive through Hollywood, The same sleazy t-shirt shops are all along Hollywood Boulevard. You go into Burbank, it's the same freaking neighborhoods and houses and
Bob's
Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's. Like, nothing really changes here. It's weird.
But there are a lot of things changing in Harlem. Like on the corner of Crescent Heights and Sunset, that whole shopping center is gone.
Yeah, now it's, you know what's weird? They, you know, when everything was supposed to shut down, for some reason, I noticed construction galore. I've never seen so much stuff going up during. So
you know what that is.
It's sort of changing, yeah. But for the most part, this, you know, because we have to drive all the way to the airport to do our gigs, and that drive from Hollywood to the airport, I go, have any of these buildings changed in 30 years? Like, it all looks exactly the same to me.
No, it does, but there's a lot of new stuff happening since.
Since, you're right.
Across from Toy, they put up two new huge apartment buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it is starting a little bit, but overall, the city does not really.
See, I drive around and I see how many things are closed, and it bums me out.
Yeah, especially in Beverly Hills. If you've been to Beverly Hills, it's like almost every store is closed. Every third store is like boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
That's weird.
It's weird, yeah.
But do you, and how much do you think the business has changed?
The entertainment business? Oh, huge, huge. And it's changing as we speak. As we're doing this podcast, there's probably like 30 things turning over and changing. It's moving so quickly and transitioning. Yeah.
Like yesterday, they had Paramount announced that MTV and Comedy Central are probably just going to go out of business.
Wow.
Think about that.
Good. I mean,
give them the broth.
Didn't you see? Yeah, give them the Dunkin' Donuts broth. Didn't you see your last MTV rock video in 1989? Like, shouldn't it have gone out of business 36 years ago?
Brand, though. It was a brand.
Yeah, but it's called MTV. What was it?
Music television.
Yeah, but people don't even have video machines anymore. Videos don't exist.
Agreed.
So that's like having a network called, you know, the Cantaloupe Network, and no one wants to watch Cantaloupe.
No, they don't.
And then as for Comedy Central, I mean, here's a network that all these decades had the word comedy in it, and all I ever got to see was South Park and Crank Yankers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at all the comedians we know that never had a special, never got on air. How much comedy did they actually promote?
Mm-hmm.
How many comedians did they take and develop and give shows to? Next to nobody. Mm-mm. So I don't know. And the people that ran Comedy Central, it wasn't always, you know, I had many meetings over there, and I'd walk in and go, why aren't I sitting down with Steve Martin or Martin Short?
Yeah.
Comedy guys.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm sitting down with, you know, guys that have a degree from somewhere, or they were an ex, you know, they used to run a tie shop, or who knows what they did. But it wasn't comedy people running Comedy Central. So it just, to me, that I'm glad it's gone.
I love that you're saying that.
Yeah.
I love it. And I love this side of you, because you, to me, are a pillar of comedy. You are a pillar. Don't be surprised. You're a pillar.
A pillar. Okay.
And and the thing is, you're so correct. Like, how many people do you know that are names that really, besides Chappelle? I mean, there's a few, obviously.
Yeah.
But a lot of people got comedy outside of Comedy Central that became successful in comedy.
Yeah.
Now, they did give me some early little breaks. I did little things there and there. But I you know, you're right what you're saying. But MTV, this is something that I have a soft spot for all of them. But I agree. I took many meetings. You know, they say a way to kill a great idea is take a meeting.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of that.
Yeah.
But when I was at MTV, Lisa Berger, what's up, who was an executive.
I remember
there,
Lisa. Yeah. She was a sweetheart.
Sweetheart came in.
Yeah,
a real executive.
Yeah.
Loved comedy.
Yeah.
Would come to the clubs. Even though I would bomb, and she would say, you bomb really funny.
Like, oh, yeah. She was great.
She knew.
She knew how to nurture comedy.
Exactly.
And yeah.
She gave me my first test pilot.
Mm.
1994, and she says, there's four guys I like in town.
Oh, wow.
And she goes, and she, you had a deal. So it was Harlan Williams,
yeah.
Jay Moore, Jim Brewer, it was five, Dave Chappelle, and she goes, and now you.
Yeah.
So I had awesome. A little deal there. You had a little deal there.
Yeah, I had a few, I think.
Yeah. So it's like, those are five different, distinctly very different people.
Right, right.
And she nurtured all of us.
Yeah, she was one of the
she
good ones.
She became the president
yeah.
of Ian's, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
So it's like, I mean, and she did all the VH1 programming. But I mean, that's the rare type of executive.
Well, also don't forget, she was at MTV.
That's where we were, yeah.
But that's what I mean. That's a music network. Why weren't the people at Comedy Central, where it's comedy,
doing?
What are music guys doing, comedy guys doing on a music network? That's what I mean. It was all just, nothing made sense.
Dude, because I think it's different. Like, I did a show, like, I remember before the pandemic, and I thought, this guy came up to me, and it was like in this little place, and the guy came up to me, and he goes, hey, man, he goes, You really did it. And I go, what do you mean? He's like, that was a great set. I go, thank you. He goes, that was like old school. And I go, what do you mean? He's like, well, you just committed. You just went for it. Because I was all big and stuff. Yeah. Whatever. It was like 40 people. I'm like, you mean just doing comedy?
Yeah.
And I think something happened. Because I look at you, and you're the type of performer that I love and that I aspire to be, because you're not scared to use your skill set and become huge or become small. And I think there's a lot of people that started comedy and Comedy Central. I think there was a hipster vibe there, and they wanted to be cool. And that is the death of comedy, in my opinion. Cool.
Yeah, maybe. I just wish they had.
You didn't jump on that idea at all.
Well, because I think that they, I don't know, I just feel like they sort of, here's the world of comedy and all the people in it, and I feel like they focused on this much of that whole globe.
That's what I was saying. They were a little hipstery at times.
Well, I guess I don't know if it was hipstery. I just don't think they knew how to tap the well. Yeah. They were called Comedy Central, but the people running it didn't know how to exploit comedy in a good way. Not exploit it for the sake of making money, but exploit all the talent and all the possibilities and opportunity. It's like, if you look at the Food Network, every show is about food, and there's 70 different chefs all day long. There's someone else cooking every hour. It's a new chef. It's a new dish. It's a new in comedy on Comedy Central. It was like old reruns, and then 9 hours of South Park and Chappelle's show and great shows.
Great shows.
Great
yeah.
shows. I'm not knocking them. Fun. Great. But what happened to the rest of that big globe of comedy? You know, well, it just felt so like they were missing so much, like they're on a boat going down the comedy river and just passing everyone. And every 7 years they'd pluck someone and develop something, you know, and that's not sour grapes. That's just an actual observation. I just wish they were much more aggressive with developing the world of comedy and all it had to offer and all the people that were available to them. And it just, if you go back in history and look at all they accomplished, it just seems like a place called Comedy Central should have an explosive, you know, a catalog of, it should have been maybe sometimes comedy instead of Comedy Central. Comedy Central implies it's the nucleus of comedy and the epicenter of comedy where all things radiated, and it didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like that at all.
Comedy adjacent,
comedy lackluster, comedy let's try a little harder, comedy let's fucking go, comedy you're missing the boat, comedy
what's the central, what's another word for central, comedy
nucleus,
but no, it's not really central, it's comedy
off center,
off center,
comedy misaligned, you know, just the point is I when you're going to brand yourself something Comedy Central and you have the reach of a whole network, like get out there and exploit it and bring in comedic forces to run it. And I knew some of the executives there, great people, fun guys. Gary Mann was a great guy. Like there were some great guys who really loved comedy and loved to laugh, but I don't think they had enough comedic people there, you know, running it and exploiting it the way it should have.
I agree.
You know, imagine if Disney Animation only did one cartoon a year. You know, well, this is Disney and the word animation. Like, they're generating cartoons. They're throwing stuff at the wall all the time. It just, it never felt like Comedy Central did that. It felt like every 3-4 years, maybe something would come out, but it was very, always seemed very trepidatious. Like,
you broke, but you didn't even break from there. You broke from, like, the WB and movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of came from everywhere.
Yeah,
I did
everything.
Stuff on MTV. I did stuff on, I did stuff on Comedy Central too. And I'm not saying they didn't have comedians, but they never like shows like the Chappelle Show or South Park. There should have been like a lot of those instead of just them, you know. But yeah, I came. I did exactly what I wanted when I came here. I wanted to do stand up, and knowing that stand up from stand up could come commercials, TV, sitcoms, movies, voice work, anything I wanted. And so when I came here, I just kind of went, you know, reached out for all that stuff because I like to be stimulated. So I liked all the multi kind of faceted opportunities that exist here. And so that's what I did. So I don't know if I came from anything in particular, but I definitely put my finger in a lot of things, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're a big finger guy.
Yeah.
So wait, how do you feel about Netflix then?
In terms of what?
Do you think they're developing comedy? I mean, it seems like they have a lot.
I think they're developing a lot of comedy, but they're agenda driven.
I agree.
I don't think they're, again, the way Comedy Central missed the boat and didn't do a lot, Netflix is doing a lot, but they're not fishing in the pool of super refined, pure comedy. They're kind of, they've got a throw net where they're just kind of like, hey, let's get this, let's get that. And a lot of it feels like to me sort of motivated by agendas, which I don't think should be the source of comedy. Comedy should come from, you know, getting the most laughs. People talking about a guy on the circuit and they're like, that's your guy. That guy's doing 15-minute spots and getting standing ovations. That give that guy or girl the special, you know. But it doesn't seem like that's the criteria anymore.
It's the agenda.
Yeah, there's a lot of agenda and there's a lot of, you know, sort of like you know, categories and groups and you know, everyone should have a chance, but be the guy everyone's talking about, whether you're a certain race, color, sex, creed, whatever you are, but earn it, you know?
It used to be, tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not sounding like you're saying, but it used to be you had to be the funniest.
Yeah, or you had to be in that circle. You had to qualify to be.
So you're saying it's not just about the funniest anymore.
I don't think so, but I think they've sort of created a world now where it's like, well, what's funny? I think even with movies and stuff, they've created a world where they've watered everything down so much where the public, and especially the newbies that are coming up, they don't have the insight to question what's funny or what's dramatic or what's a real movie or what's not, you know what I mean? It's been so sort of watered down in many ways that it's
So you think comedy's watered down?
It's diluted. It's not the concentrated, you know, art form that it used to be in terms of televising it and making specials and stuff like that.
So like one night I was at the Improv, Jerry Seinfeld was walking out talking to one of his openers.
Yeah.
Ellen was in the corner talking.
Ellen DeGeneres?
George Lopez was refining his set for Tonight Show on stage.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was me and Gary Owen, and I was trying to sign up, and he was like, I think, doing a fallout spot. So at that moment, those are five different distinct personalities, and I was nothing.
Yeah.
So, but you know every one of those people in that scenario.
Yeah.
And you're saying it's different now.
I see people, you know, kind of on that broader stand-up stage on Netflix. Some are really great and worthy of being there, and some of them I'm just scratching my head and going, I'm not sure this person was ready. Not to say maybe they don't have the ability. And then some I look at and I go, I feel like they don't have the ability, you know?
Here's what's crazy is, so Netflix is basically a website.
Okay.
And they have unlimited bandwidth.
Right.
And there's a lot of pillars in comedy that don't get the specials that I think should.
Yeah. That's...
And you're one of them. There's at least five people I can name off the top of my head that should just be able to shoot their own special, even if Netflix doesn't give it to them, and just put it on the audience will find them.
You want to hear something really, it might be snobbery or it might be, I don't know what it is, rebellion.
Boom.
I almost don't want a special from them. I don't know if I'd take it if they came to me.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like it's been so diluted that it's not the purity that it used to be. And I've made no attempt to ever reach out to them. I almost feel like I it sounds maybe snobby, but I'm not trying to make it sound snobby. It's just like I so love the purity of the art. And because I think it's been watered down, I don't want to be part of the watered down world. And so I question myself, if they came to me tomorrow and said, hey, we'll give you $500,000 to do a special, part of me goes, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do it, you know?
That's a baller move.
I'm not trying to be a big shot, but I'm just, it's just like, I've been disappointed from what I've been seeing, you know? And it's not everyone, but to a degree, it's you can't argue it. It's if you're a stand-up comedian and you came up in the world we came up, you know, it's just it's sort of tough to see. Yeah,
that's intense. Here's what I love about it, though.
Yeah,
because you are every word you can say you can back beyond. And so, like, you're like I'm saying, like, when I did the potluck at the Comedy Store,
yeah,
I mean, Martin Lawrence would be on the main room destroying, and then James Stevens III would be on the OR destroying, and yeah. I mean, Louis Anderson would pop in. I mean, it was just...
Yeah.
Comedy's never been more populated. Do you agree with that? There's more comedians than ever.
I'd say there's more people getting on the stage than ever. Yeah.
I like this side of Harlan. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. This bio on Instagram can give you that as a job. So right, you can write. Right. But yes, okay. Well, I'm saying is there's more people getting on the stage than ever.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when we were coming up, and I would put you, if like you're a senior, I was probably a sophomore. You're a little bit ahead of me.
Okay.
And headliners hung with headliners and middles. I never talked to headliners or whatever. I was always with the open mic or guys doing 5 minutes because there was no social media.
Right.
Now you can get on stage and, you know, Arsenio's on one show and a person's been doing a year is on the same show, which was never the thing before.
Yeah, it's different. That's what I mean. There's no real. It doesn't feel like there's any levels anymore. It's sort of it's a bit of a watercolor that hasn't dried yet.
So, do you think that because here's what I noticed? People go online, they get attention.
Yeah,
and they'll get an audience, whether they're influencing, whether whatever. And they somehow use comedy to do the live part of their business. Does this make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they don't. If you got a lot of attention doing something as an influencer, and you didn't know, you couldn't just pick up a bass.
Yeah,
you have to learn it. But for some reason, they feel that it's a place where they can just go and do it, and they're being rewarded. They're selling out.
Yeah. Well, here's the other side to my brain. I go, if you can make it, make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, good for you.
Yeah.
If you're juggling chainsaws, make it. If you're the worst comedian, the worst singer, whatever, make it. But what I'm saying is you're gonna make it, you're gonna get an audience, but it's contributing to the, you ever see someone bleed out and that pool of blood just keeps expanding? So the whole arena of entertainment, regardless of the levels it at, it's just all bleeding out.
So you're saying it's becoming more mediocre?
No, I can't even say that because there are so many oddities and things that are coming into it that never would have had the access before.
Exactly. That, I mean, there's more different people than ever in comedy,
it's
which is great.
Opening up different doors. And that's beautiful. Opening up different styles. I love the input. I love change. Mm-hmm. I don't want things to not change, but I guess what I'm saying is what you package as a prime cut.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But it's really ground steak. That's what I don't like. I think it's more in the packaging. I'm all for everyone trying. I'm all for everyone having the opportunity. Anyone should be able to get up on a stand-up stage and see what they got.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I just wish they had a finer eye to where the cream rose. You know what I mean?
Well, the business used to be gatekeepers. So we had to pass a test. If there's six people going out for a spot, only one of us got it, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you have an audience, because you made online, the business will... They don't really even need the business. They can sell
out
clubs.
Yeah.
You don't need TV spots. You don't need anything. You could sell out 10 nights in a row at a club. If the thing is, the club, if the club is going to sell out, they're going to book you.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a lot of things that have happened.
Well, the other aspect to that, too, is it's like things are different than when me and you came up.
Mm-hmm.
And we did come up through this thing where there were steps and there was
tons.
There was work and reward. And it was
competitive, but it was great. It was rewarding.
It was great and it was hard work. And it made you strive to really hone your craft. But now we're in a world where things are much more washed out and wider, and if that's the direction that society's going in, that the entertainment consumer's going in, then that's okay too. But from where I sit, as a guy who spent, as you said, 40 years doing this, I've still got my half of my brain in the game. Like, let me just see your all-stars. Let me see the guys that made the NHL or the NFL. I don't want to see the guys in the junior league yet.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see them when they've been drafted to the big league. Let me present them then. They're still going to, you know, if they're still doing it 5 years younger and they're not ready yet, great, let them develop. But when they're developed, let me see them so I can really appreciate and it doesn't sort of, I guess, like I was saying, water, everything down, wash it out a bit, you know? So
somebody said this to me, my buddy, Kay Francis, and he said that you're making such a good point that if somebody gets, let's say somebody gets popular in the junior league.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference. And the arena sees, oh my God. He might not be the best, you know, I don't know, hockey term, forward or something.
Yeah.
But he'll sell all these tickets, and we can throw him in the game. It's that type of thing. Like, if you sell the tickets, they're going to book you.
Yeah.
And so because you can be seen at any level now because of social media, but then the audiences that are coming in the comedy weren't raised with comedy.
Yeah.
Do you feel that? So it's like this. You ever sit at a restaurant, dude. How many times you sit at a restaurant and you're minding your own business and there's a table of seven people and they're going, ah! 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 And I'm like, I've sat in a green room with you and Bill Burr and Steph Tevlov and so many funny people and none of us laugh that hard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like these people that are working at a dentist office are like, this guy's murdering.
Yeah, yeah.
So
So
when I see that in the public eye,
yeah,
one of these guys from the office water cooler is getting on stage and his friends think he's a genius. And if he has a reach to 10 offices, there's your theory.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's not just the comedian. It could be the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of entertainment. You there's no rules. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it stops and where it ends. And that's what I like about it. But, I think I'm just talking about some of the bigger networks that have the ability to put out the top, the prime beef, and they don't. That's the only...
Because of popularity.
Yeah, yeah.
If they see that someone's popular.
Right, right. Yeah. And so I don't know. I like it that everyone's trying and everyone's, going for it, but I don't know. The system's definitely... changed, and by it changing, I think it's changed the entertainment consumer too, where they're, it's like movies. When we were younger, we'd go to a movie and we'd expect a beautiful movie like a Coppola or a David Lynch, or it's the craft, the direction, the lighting, the cutting, the editing, the acting. Like it was a piece of art. And now today, you look at a lot of movies, I find myself walking out of a lot of movies. I find myself not going to movies the way I used to, because they're just not that level of the prime cut isn't present anymore as much, And so we're losing something, but we're gaining something. I still don't know what it is. It's opening up really big, but we're losing a lot too on the way. Which is a bummer.
What about our movie?
A Wingman?
See, this is why I love our movie, because you wrote a script that I thought start to finish was completely, it was perfect.
Oh, geez.
No, it makes it, every joke pays off, every part tracks in the story. It's big, it's crazy. It's the way comedy should be.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, like that, you're referring to Wingman, a movie that I wrote and directed, and then you're in it, and Russell Peters and Kayla Wallace and some great people. But
are we allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about it. It's not out yet. It had to be honest. It hasn't even been sold yet. We're still putting it together. It's in the editing process, which is exciting. But yeah, I mean, my brain is wired when it comes to movies to, again, try and make a sculpted piece of art that has a beginning, a middle, and an end that you can track and follow. And I don't want a comedy where you leave and they're like, oh, there were three moments where I laughed. I like, I kind of follow the template of The Simpsons, where they have a template where let's do a joke every 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We want our audience laughing. Sort of not quite as over the head as the Airplane and the Naked Gun movies, where every line's a joke. Or even, who's that guy, Ryan Reynolds? What's that superhero, Deadpool?
Deadpool. Is
that, like, every line's a joke. Mm-hmm. I don't want that, but I want to create a reality where within the reality there's just jokes, a barrage of jokes coming all the time. So when you leave a comedy, I want you to laugh more than three times. So
yeah.
So I hopefully succeeded with that. And I mean, we have one scene together in Wingman where there's one scene where we just stand there face to face, like, because we're rivals in the movie. And I think there's about six laughs in that one 90-second scene.
Yeah.
At least that's how I wrote it. And the way you acted it, the way we bounced off of each other, I think there's like at least 4 to 6 laughs in one scene. And that's what I want. I want people to get bang for their buck. Like, you look at Ace Ventura, you look at Austin Powers. Like, it was just laugh, 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 laugh. To me, that's a comedy movie. Yeah.
That's how I looked at it. You made a movie that was a comedy movie.
I hope so, man. I mean, the audience will decide. That's the other, the beauty of doing movies, and the scary thing about doing movies, you can think it's hilarious, and the audience might show up and go, but so all I can do is throw it up to the comedy gods, hope that it resonates with comedy audiences, and I can do more. So yeah.
That's how it felt. But here's
great.
The editor.
You.
Well, also the editors are laughing. That's a huge sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're the editor, but there's also other editors. Yeah,
well,
and the sound
mixers. Guys at the post, yeah. The guys in post were laughing, and but you know that's all inside industry stuff. But I've yet to see the movie with an audience. There's been no screenings. There's so. I just don't know. I'm just holding on to faith that my comedy instincts created a comedy movie, but we'll see, man. I'm not going to be braggadocious about it. I just got to let the comedy snow falls where it will fall.
And well, we went for it. We did it completely independent comedy, yeah. No holes barred. You let us try anything we want. You tried anything you wanted.
Yeah.
And you had all this. It's not just funny, but it's technically awesome. The music you're picking is insanely great.
Yeah, the music. Yeah, technically, I mean, it plays as a real movie, a real story, but the basic premise of the movie is it's about this wingman who's for hire. He helps losers who can't get girls. You can hire him to get you girls. And he's sort of an over-the-top kind of character in the real world, kind of the way Ace Ventura was, the way Austin Powers was. And so I think it'll resonate with people because at the end of the day, regardless of the comedy, it's about human relationships and mm-hmm. sexuality and mm-hmm. finding a partner and the feelings of love lost and love gained. And I think those are universal themes. And when you kind of have some great actors, great characters in that world, and then you glaze it with comedy, hopefully you have a good recipe. So
there's things I've never, I'm not going to say anything, but there's premises for jokes that I've never ever heard.
In the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say what they are. And I just, that's why I couldn't, I was laughing my face off reading it.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm
you,
like, this is crazy. Oh, like, there's so many. And it's a throwback to like 80s. I hate this. I don't want to sound like, but it's like big and loud. And it's like, but this story's got a lot of heart.
Yeah. You know, I always feel like with comedy, you got to have that balance where you want, like the big over the top, but you also want to have some kind of relatable heart to it. Like even the Naked Gun movies mm-hmm. had the through line of Leslie Nielsen and Priscilla Presley. Everything was crazy and maniacal, but yet the through line through the movie is that he was having relationship troubles. He was in love with Priscilla, and so you had that sort of grounding force, even though it's the most ridiculous stuff ever. And so there's a little bit of a love story in
Big
Wingman
love story
as well. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? Why do you think they stopped making comedies?
You know, I'm confounded by that. Yeah. I know one reason. One reason is that there was a time like through the 80s and the 90s where people just made movies. It's like, hey, we want to do a comedy like Ace Ventura. Hey, we want to do The Mask. Hey, we want to do The Godfather. You know, movies were sort of sold on their merit. Like, we think people would like this piece of work. And then marketing and money came into it where everything came down to zones and markets. And, well, this plays great overseas, but this doesn't. And I learned from being in the business and being around some high-level people that comedies, American-made comedies, don't translate globally. Like the audience in India or the audience in Thailand or the audience in China, they don't really understand the nuance of an Austin Powers or an Ace Ventura or even an Adam Sandler. Humor is very sort of culturally specific in a lot of ways, outside of maybe physical humor, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know from talking to people in the industry that it's even hard for guys like Jim Carrey and Will Ferrell and Adam Sandler to get a comedy movie made because nowadays they look at how's it going to do globally money-wise. Mm-hmm. And even those guys don't translate to a lot of these other cultures. And so the money doesn't come in the way it would if you do a horror. They love horror movies because that translates anywhere. A superhero movie, stuff like that. So I think that's one of the issues with comedies now. They sort of have died on the vine a little bit because now studios are a lot more aware of the global market and chasing all that money, it seems, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? I mean,
well, a little bit of our culture has changed. People got offended.
Oh, you mean like the woke culture thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but I think it's more offensive to go to a comedy and not see comedy and see a homogenized movie that's a piece of white bread garbage. That's more insulting to me than going and seeing a movie where maybe someone says something edgy and takes a chance and makes me laugh or doesn't make me laugh, but at least I can look at it and go, even though I didn't laugh at the dildo joke, I know that there's comedy in there. Versus a movie where they take all that stuff out and there's no comedy and you're supposed to go in and laugh at something that's not really been baked into the recipe.
Because that's been made by, you know, like you said, those executives.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And you, but you know what? So tell me if, like, last summer there was a big movie and they said, it's the comedy, and the best comedy in 2 years.
What was it?
It was Jennifer Lawrence. I didn't see it. And she played some kind of teacher or something.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Okay, you did.
I went to see it. It's the one where she tutors a kid or something like that. Okay. Yeah.
No, I didn't see it. And yeah. I love her. I think she's super talented. Mm-hmm. She's a superstar. But when I heard that phrase, it's the biggest comedy in years, I'm like, can you, Harlan Williams, go and star in a historical drama, which you should be allowed to do, and go, it's the best historical drama in years? Would they give you that same chance?
Oh, God, I don't know.
You know, no, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like we take this global superstar who's known for some dramatic performances, they put her in a comedy, and they, like, big her up as the best comedy in 2 years, but they won't let a comedian do it.
Oh yeah, they do that a lot. I mean, look at all the comedies with wrestlers in it, and like you know, wrestlers.
There are some
and
funny
rappers,
wrestlers though.
Rappers and wrestlers, and how many comedy movies have you seen where they're the stars? And it's like, just get funny people.
So do you feel a comedy gets dissed? Comedians. The whole thing, what you're saying, I love how you're being vague. Wrestlers, I just got who you're talking about. So,
no, there's a few of them.
I know.
There's a lot of them.
But, well, there's one wrestler that's the biggest wrestler, and might be the biggest one in the world.
The Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's The Rock, and then there's that other guy.
Rock is funny.
I mean, he can be humorous, but yeah. he's not
comedy.
He's not a comedian.
Yeah, I know.
And there's a few of them, you know, and I'm not knocking them. If I was a wrestler and Sony Pictures said, hey, we want you to be in Bazonkers 3 for $12 million, I'd be like, what day does Bazonkers 3 start? You know, I'm not going to say no to an opportunity.
Yeah.
But again, this goes back to the decision makers diluting comedy for all the wrong reasons. But
this is what I'm saying. Why is comedy the art form that everybody thinks that they can jump in with any other? You couldn't do that with painting.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that with interpretive dance.
Yeah.
Comedy, I feel, is a skill set that is highly underrated, and it hurts my feelings.
Well, it should. Think of it. Every dramatic actor you've ever seen, whether it be Al Pacino, Meryl Streep, Jack Nicholson, you know, Sean Penn, whoever, Laurence Olivier, you know, Brando, what's one quote that they always say? They go, comedy is the hardest form of acting to do. Mm-hmm. They always say it. Every one of them have at some point said, comedy's the hardest thing to do in a movie on screen. And yet comedy is the one category that's never existed in the Oscars in history. So if all the Oscar winners, like Meryl Streep and Brando and Sir Laurence Olivier, are saying, this is the hardest acting you'll ever do is comedy, and they've won all the Oscars, and they're the best actors, then how is it that comedy's not a category in the Oscars if it's the hardest part of the art form?
Because it goes back to everybody has an asshole, but not everybody can be a proctologist. Yeah. Everybody can laugh. It's because if you do it well, they think you're not doing it. That's the great deception.
Well, think of it. Whether you think some comedians are jackasses or geniuses, look at Jerry Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
No one could do what that guy did.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be a hammer and a buffoon and jump around and try to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But try to calculate being funny and getting the result of being funny. That's a whole nother level. Picture the commitment Mike Myers had to make to Austin Powers. how are those characters any less refined than someone, than Meryl Streep committing to her character in Out of Africa, which was beautiful. So these comedic actors should definitely get the accolades they deserve. And if it's the hardest form of acting, why aren't they even acknowledged? I would love it if Austin, you know, Michael Myers, you know, if you meet Michael Myers, he's just sitting here like this. Hey, how you doing? You know, he's not, oh, behave, baby. Like,
yeah,
that's a huge character to wear.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge nuanced comedy character. With so, if you watch that, even the way he worked his eyebrows in that movie was part of the nuance of the his commitment to that character. Jim Carrey with just his head turns and the way he held his teeth and the way he walked. And
yeah,
there's probably more nuances in those comedy characters than a really refined performance of Brando in A Streetcar Named Desire. Now, those are much subtler. But my God, you show me people who can commit and create and emote that type of acting.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that not acknowledged? Those guys should all have Oscars. It's beautiful.
I know.
So that hopefully answers your question a little bit.
Well, yeah, I would wear a fake nose when I would do pranks. And it was the same nose that Nicole Kidman wore in Cold Mountain.
Really?
Well, it was like the same type of, it was the same like makeup people.
Oh, okay.
And it was a similar nose. So it's like, because that's dramatic.
Yeah.
She wins an Oscar. And since I'm on the WB, I'm a clown.
Well, they don't give Oscars on TV, silly.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? It's the WB. Now, you always keep everything funny, but you were the first guy to tell me something. I don't know if I'm allowed to bring it up. Did you hear that?
Well, now it's like, geez, what are you going to say? But let me hear it and I'll decide if I want
to cut out anything.
Go through that door.
Because you know, I love this I love it. You're being honest.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Well, because a lot of people, because you on your pod, I have such a good time and you always have a good time.
Yeah.
And you know, you keep it fun. But you don't talk about your beliefs in life.
No, that's my comedy podcast.
I know.
So I keep it comedy. But, you know, if I follow, I just follow the energy.
Yeah,
so
I know
if you were on my podcast, The Harlan Highway, and this veered toward this, I'd go down this road.
I know you do.
So I just kind of go, but I always like to, if I'm going to, it's like I was saying about the movies, about if I'm going to, if I'm going to do a comedy podcast, I want to make sure people are laughing.
Yes, of course.
So that's why my podcast is probably a little leans on the silly side.
It's
but
not silly.
I'm
it's
not
hilarious.
Afraid to go down a road like this, too. It's all, open country for Daddy.
Oh, I know you yeah. are, Papa. You, yeah. I know. I have conversations with you. When I one time was walking in like 2018, we were yeah. somewhere, and we started talking about politics and somehow Trump came up.
Yeah.
And you were the first person ever telling me in this town.
Yeah.
That you like Trump.
Oh, yeah. Not like loved him.
I know. I don't know. Can I say that?
Dude, yeah.
You love Trump.
See, this is what bothers me. We live in
a
free country where we have to ask if we have to ask if we can. Yeah.
Not because of me, but because I don't know if you want your beliefs out there.
I do want my beliefs out there.
Good.
It's important. It's important that we all have our beliefs out there.
1,000.
And the fact that some people aren't allowed to voice their beliefs is preposterous to me. So ask away.
Well, you went like four policies deep about what he did. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. And then you said, and we were walking to a club, I'm not going to say, and you're like, there's a few of us. And then we mentioned a couple people, and then we went in and did our show.
Oh, a few other comedians
yeah.
that like Trump. Yeah,
but we weren't. Yeah. No one was talking about it.
I was actually.
You were. You were. I yeah. never heard you, but I've never heard you publicly until right now. And I love that you did that.
Oh yeah, I actually went on stage with a MAGA hat on a few times.
What year?
In Hollywood. The first time he ran.
Wow, good for you.
And remember, I'm Canadian.
So you can get away with some of it.
No, but I didn't move to the freest place in the world to be told how to think or what to decide. When I go into Baskin Robbins with a friend, I don't let them pick my flavor. I pick it. This is a free country.
Yeah,
that's why people come here. And yeah. the fact that half the country's terrified to say how they feel is – shameful. It's sad. And it's also shameful that one side, whoever they are, would put that on another side. It's we're all on the same team, man.
It's really, you saw how different it's become in the last 8 years.
Yeah, and it's very sad to me. But I think if you hide away from it, then you become part of it, you know?
Oh, no, I don't hide away from it. I know that you, because I didn't know, I respect people because I don't know if they want their beliefs. But
oh, I see, yeah.
I know. I love that you want to talk about it because...
Oh, yeah, I'm fine with because it. Yeah. I talked about it way before he won the first time on my old audio podcast. I did many episodes where I talked about how I predicted he was going to win. And why I thought he should win and who he was as a person. And, you know, I did a whole episode where I talked about he was a maverick, you know, and America was built on the backs of mavericks, you know, kind of let's go America. And I don't know if this country would exist if we didn't have mavericks. And,
100%.
And here's a guy who really kind of embodied that spirit, and people loved him for it until he decided to run in politics and go with the wrong party. And suddenly everyone turned, you know, the wolves turned on the sheep, and it was just like, wow. So as a guy, like I said, who came here to the land of the free, it's been troubling to watch that happen to this country and to the people in it. Makes me sad.
I know. And how, but do people come up to you and say anything about your beliefs? Any comics weird with you?
I've had people challenge it, but I don't back down. I'm like, you know, you're just as right as I am, and you're just as wrong as I am. So, you know, but no, I've lost some friends over it. I've had friends, I could feel some energy shift, and I've had friends that I've lost over it, but
good friends,
but that's,
but you don't put it out there. I've never seen you put it out there.
Well, no one's asked me,
but you don't put it. You mean just in public, in private conversation, they know how you feel and they're not your friend anymore.
Yeah. I've had and friendships end because of where I stand. And that's what I mean. That's what makes me so sad. But it never comes from me. I'm never the one that wants to end the friendship or perpetuates that energy, but I've had other friends who disagree with the way I think, end things or push me away, or you feel the energy change in the friendship, and I just go, okay, well, I'm here for freedom, not for you. I wish I was still your friend, but I came to America for freedom, not for your attitude, and not for you pushing your beliefs on me, and not for you telling me how to think. So see you later, I guess. Too bad, because we were good friends and we had fun and I loved you. But hasta la vista, freedom comes first, you know?
Yeah, that's real.
That's real.
I mean, here's the thing, is that I feel like all these people that are so open-minded and loving are complete liars. They're fake. They're like, oh, we're inclusive. They will let you identify as anything you want except a Trump supporter.
Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of blowback. And
you should be able to believe what you want and still be friends.
Oh, yeah, you should be. That's what I'm saying. That's what this country was built on, right?
But I feel that comedy community has a mix of everybody.
Yeah.
And I do feel I'll do shows with wild liberals. I don't think I'm anything. I think I'm an independent, but they're going to call me a right winger.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, but that's just, to me, that's common sense now. And yeah. So you can go with some wild liberals, but I still believe that our base connection is comedy first.
Yeah.
And still the laughter is more important than everything else. So I do feel that the comedy has a good mix of everybody, and they're still pretty accepting, I hope.
Yeah, you know what? To be honest, in the comedy community, I don't feel... I think because it's a small community, mm-hmm. and I think comedians realize that when we get on stage, we have an extra voice in the world. And if you were to go to a comedian and go, hey, dude, I don't like your material about dogs, and I don't like your material about camping. Like, don't do that. Well, that would be the same if you said, hey, I don't like you talking about Trump, or I don't like you talking about Biden. I think there's this pool of respect amongst comedians where I can't really have an opinion about that person's point of view because then I'd be stepping on their creativity. I'd be stepping on their voice to project their comedy. Mm-hmm. And I think if I have to break it down, maybe this is just my assumption, that comedians respect that territory amongst each other. And so we're sort of the free range chickens in the whole thing, where mm-hmm. we're all roaming around, but still in the same yard and living together and cohabitating and doing our job, laying the eggs together, the comedy eggs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. That's a good feeling. Cause I've, you know, there's maybe been a few examples here and there where it hasn't been that, but for the most part, I would agree with you. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember what you told me during Me Too?
During Me Too?
We've done some wild gigs together. Do you remember the first time I worked with you? You don't remember.
I think it was down in San Diego.
I opened for you.
Yeah, we did a show. Some guy booked a nightclub in San Diego, like a 400-seater, 500-seater.
Mm-hmm.
We go down, me and you, and he wasn't an experienced promoter. I think he was a radio DJ or something. He's like, Harlan, come on down. Mm-hmm. We got this club. So we went down Saturday night. Huge room. I think there was 22 people, maybe 23. And dude, it was sort of fun because it was like, it wasn't on us. It was on them to, I just don't think this guy was a seasoned promoter. I think he just thought, oh, I got these two guys. People are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he really knew how to do the groundwork or the promotion. Yeah. And so it was a graveyard, but we had fun.
We had fun. It was hollow in there.
Yeah, sometimes the car wrecks are the funnest because
yeah.
you're already committed to go up. And so you have to go up and just do your thing. And sometimes because what we're delivering is humor, is funny, mm-hmm. It becomes funnier when it's a funny room, a funny situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did that. We've done a few things together.
Oh, then yeah. We went to Beirut together.
Which is crazy.
We did stand up. We were the first, weren't we the first American Canadian comedians to do stand up in Beirut?
I think so.
Like this was what, about 5 years ago,
yeah,
6 years
right
ago?
Right before the pandemic, we went to Beirut.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's interesting? The place where we did it, cut to, what was it, a year and a half later?
Yeah.
That's the harbor that blew to smithereens.
Crazy.
Remember that huge bomb that went off in the harbor? And it literally was like it leveled like 7 square miles almost.
I know.
Our comedy club was right down.
In the middle of that.
In that, yeah. I know.
It was crazy.
Oh my God.
We would play each place a different night, and we would play out these bombed buildings. Remember, the building didn't have part of a roof.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they would put 300 chairs. The crowds were incredible.
Oh, it was great.
They were incredible.
That's the beauty of comedy, man. It transcends everything.
100%. Like, these people, they wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
There was people that had money, and there were people that were broke, but we would do these great shows.
Yeah.
And then they took us out. They treated us like kings.
Yeah,
but we were playing like some literally blown up buildings.
Yeah. Well, when you drive downtown, you'd have like, you'd have 30 beautiful buildings with stores and restaurants. And then right across the street, there'd be three skeleton buildings that were either unfinished or had been, bombed out or,
Then we played those.
Was our building like a bombed out building?
One of them was.
That's why I bombed every night,
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. But the crowds.
That's the place you could bomb away with that. It's like, guys, I'm in a bomb building. I got a bomb.
But they loved comedy.
Everyone loves it.
But
yeah.
I couldn't believe it translated. It was so great.
Yeah.
But we were at a festival. I'll never forget this. I don't know. I'll say this and you can tell me if you want to keep it.
Yeah.
Me Too was red hot.
Red hot.
We were doing the Foo Fighters, and that was a show where I would like open and you would close.
Oh yeah, it was a music festival, here in California.
But there was a bigger crowd waiting for the Foo Fighters, watching the Grips, and we had our comedy tent over here.
Yeah,
okay, can some of the Grips come over? And I was talking to you. We're talking about all type of stuff, and you went, "I'll try to do it."
Yeah,
because I love you. And I was like, somehow Me Too came out. It was one of the funniest things ever, and you go,
Hey, Paul.
Tell me if I'm doing you. Is that wrong?
No, dude, do what you got to do. Your interpretation is fine.
And you go, just keep your hands up. If you want to, go for it. Oh, it's up to you. Whatever you want.
Oh, for during Me Too?
Yeah.
What? That's up to you. Oh, if you're with a girl?
You want to grab the celery stick? Yeah. Go for it. Have a salad. Yeah. Well. It's up to you. You're the boss. Hey, buddy. You want to go out there? Grab a rutabaga? It's up to you. It's your world.
Yeah. I'll never forget that. You had your hands up. And I said, that's what you do. Goes, that's all you got to do.
That's all you can do. Yeah. Well, that came from everyone was so terrified during You Too. It's like if you went
too.
On a date.
You Too's band.
You Too. Me Too. Me Too. We were at a music festival. I got You Too'd. I got You Too'd in the groupie tent. But no, that there was this fear amongst all men.
Yes.
Because the Me Too thing was real. It happened to some women. Some men were perpetrators of that. But the ripple effect is, I think it drove fear through the whole male population, where it was almost like you're on a date. It's like, hey, this is a great date. You want to go get something to eat? Yeah. If you want to hug or kiss or touch it, that, you know, that's totally up to you. Like, it was kind of like, you know what I mean?
Your hands were up.
Oh yeah, it was sort of like demonstrating how paranoid everyone had become and how scary it was. You know, because there were legitimate Me Too moments, moments, and then there were some that turned out to be fraudulent, and there's some that turned out to be like really light. Like, yeah, he held my hand at the mall, and it's like, well, wait a minute, is it? You know what I mean? So, but this was at the peak of it where everyone was like, I knew even women who were scared of it. They're like, oh my, I'm afraid to go out with a man. You know, it reached this peak level where, oh, almost every male friend I have was scared to even go on dates, you know?
Well, they act like, I mean, to be honest, they were like, they act like comics don't have group. They acted like groupies didn't exist. Which they do.
With comics?
Well, and the term groupie starts with musicians, but comics have something called chuckle.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that term.
Heard that term?
It's not as prevalent with comedians. Like, I think rock stars are here with groupies.
Athletes?
I would say athletes.
Yeah.
I'd say with comedians, every now and then they get lucky. Like, I don't think it's quite, maybe it's just me, but you might have had a different experience. But
no, there's chuckle. That's the term.
I've heard the term, yeah.
Do you know what they call them in racing?
Racing? Thoroughbreds?
Car racing.
Oh. Speed demons?
Not bad.
Speed humps?
That should be.
Spare tires? Jack me up? Dipstick? Oil change?
Pit lizards.
Pit lizard.
But I love speed humps.
Speed humps, yeah.
Speed humps. Yeah. God, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Dude, I was just laughing because during the Me Too, people were just like comics and audiences that I'm sure you've been to a show.
Yeah.
And afterwards you sold merch. You sold merch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I've had some pretty aggressive women and I'm not mad about it. It's a compliment.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, but the whole world was acting like that didn't exist. Like, people don't love different people that are performers. And I was like, well, that's just not true.
Yeah.
As long as everything's cool.
Yeah.
And I had one, I can tell you a story.
Oh, here we go.
Well, this is true. I'm not even making up.
Well, let me put on my glasses. Go ahead.
It's turned into your pod. Fuck it.
Go ahead.
This Why do you?
Tell your story, buddy. Go ahead. Yeah. Do whatever you want. Tell your story, guy. Let's go, buddy. I'll be over here wiping my ass
That's
with your flowers, guy.
Fern. It's the fern. I was in. Just keep them on. Why? I was looking at the eyes.
Focus.
I was in. It's hard to. Oh, my God. They blink.
Yeah.
How?
I know.
It's crazy.
Where's my comedy Oscar?
You can look right. You can look right in there as I'm telling the story. I was in.
Yes.
Oh, dude, I'm crying. I was in San Francisco doing a gig.
Yeah.
And this old ass bag came to, I'll never forget this, to the merch table. You ever see like a woman who tans too much that she looks like the human embodiment of a Virginia Slim?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And she might have been 83 years old, 70, 77 to 83.
Chuckle fuck.
Well, so she's been pretty, you know, she had the tan skin of the skin that was in the sun too long.
Yeah, nice paint job.
Yeah, but it was a little loose, like a dash hound.
Yeah.
And it's like 1:30 in the morning. I just noticed two things. She had a really long cigarette in her mouth, like she wanted to smoke, like probably a Virginia Slim. Wow. And she had beautiful red nails.
Yeah.
Like the nails of like a 23-year-old. The nails didn't match the body, the
Got
person.
And Nostradama.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. I'm sitting there, and we're talking, whatever, and she says something to me. And I say, you know, you say shit. And I go, oh, I like your nails. Like that, and I'm not making this up. She had the voice. She goes, oh, you like, she goes, she literally had it in her mouth. She goes, oh, you like them, huh? You like them? Let me try to do the voice. She was like, hey, you like them? You like them? And I'm like, really smoky voice. Let me do a better one. You like them? Like, whatever.
You know you sound like Bobby Kennedy right now, right?
She said it. She goes, they would look, I bet they look nice wrapped around your cock.
Say that again.
I bet they look nice wrapped around your cock.
Whew. Damn.
She was probably 82 years old.
Wow. How did it feel?
Well, I said, ma'am, and I'm not kidding. I looked at her and I'm like, cash or Venmo.
Wow, that'd be like a velociraptor going after you.
100%. Wow. 100%. Wow. Then she left out. She walked out. And, you know, this is years ago. And, you know, it's like 1:30 in the morning in the Bay Area. And you're kind of like thinking to yourself, like, what's up?
A hand's a hand.
You know what I'm saying? A claw's a claw.
A little lotion. That could be a 23-year-old.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something about you. Oh. They would look good wrapped around your cock.
Maybe that's not the right.
Yeah.
They would look so good wrapped around your cock.
No, that's not the right.
They would look good wrapped around your cock.
It was that type of voice.
It's like getting a hand job from a Muppet at that point. Sounds like Grover or like Cookie Monster. Wow.
Why did you bring
the Oh, you want him back on?
So when you're talking about, hi, Pa, me too. You know that comics get chicks.
Oh, yeah, I'm not
you
saying...
You acted like they don't.
No. I'm just saying they're not at the level of, like, Guns N' Roses, where they have naked girls lined up in the hallway.
Let's go like this. Let's start. Rock stars?
Yeah.
Athletes?
Yeah.
Actors?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stock car drivers?
I don't know.
Where are comedians?
I'd say way down here. Who's experiences, I've never...
That's five levels. What else would get before? It's like celebrity chefs?
I don't know. I've just never perceived comedians of being this big groupie culture. Maybe it's just me. But I'm a guy, listen to this.
You've done well in life.
I've been in the entertainment industry.
For 40 years.
40 years. I've seen cocaine physically in 40 years, deeply immersed in the comedy and entertainment, movie and TV industry parties, celebrities. I've physically seen cocaine 3 times in my whole life.
You put a number to it.
That's all I've ever seen it. So that's what I mean. I've always sort of been in the business, but sort of never been in the mix. I've always sort of watched it from the outside and stepped in when I had to do my thing, but then stepped back out.
Dude, I'm the same way. I don't know how many times I've seen it. Probably 5, 10, I don't know. at parties. Nothing crazy, but I've never done it. Like you,
yeah, I've never done it.
You've never done it either. I know that.
No, but I've never even seen it. Like, what?
You've never seen cocaine?
Three times in 40 years.
Yeah.
How do you not see it at a party?
Because I feel like you and I are this.
It's bizarre.
Because we're doing it. We're actually doing the shit that a lot of that shit is the people that want to be in the
business.
Well,
that's what I'm saying about the group, the groupies. I've never seen a plethora of women like.
Have you ever?
I haven't been privy to that.
Well, Harlan, A, you go to a show and you absolutely murder the crowd. So there's women that just love you because you're just so funny. If you're a funny person, it can also be a panty dropper. Let's just be honest.
Well, if you notice me, and how often do you see me at the clubs? You see me
I'm saying on the road.
I'm on stage
you're
and then
off,
I'm gone.
And then you're gone. 100%.
I'm a phantom.
100%. I'm saying when you're on the road.
I'm a phantom,
and you're
man.
In Poughkeepsie.
I'm gone.
And you're selling your beer koozie. I'm sure one woman has come up to you and been like, I'm a big fan. That's all. It's up to you.
I'm not saying it hasn't
and
happened.
You've
but
gone
it's
to not- Maxim parties.
I think I've been to two in my life.
I know, but I know. You don't see Coke. The only time I've ever seen Coke really is like at that late thing.
But I think anything in life, if you want it, you got to be sort of looking for it, you know?
Oh, I would
and my MO was just get on stage and be funny and vanish.
I'm with you, but act like you never...
I'm not acting anything. I'm just telling you my experience. The same way I've never seen Coke, I honestly have never seen a huge... I've never been exposed to a huge thing of groupie-type women. I'm sure they exist for some comedians, but... I don't hang around with them, so I don't know. So that's just been my experience with it.
All right.
Look me right in the eyes and tell me. No, I'm kidding.
But I don't know if I can say this. You and I used to date a very a nice lady, and I think you dated her roommate.
Really?
So what I'm saying is I know that back in you have done, you're a very desirable man for women. That's all I'm going to say. Am I allowed to say that?
Well, I don't. If that's true, great. I'm flattered, but I'm not like I said, my reality is I can't know what other people are out there thinking.
No cocaine ever.
No.
Me neither. No coffee. I do
no
like coffee. And only making truckers. After the show, those are the guys that laugh at.
Truckers?
Just no women.
No, I'm not saying I haven't met women or been around women. No, I mean.
My whole point was that comics have, there was a whole thing that they acted like comedians never hooked up with the audience members consensually, and that was like a weird thing. I'm like, it happens in all forms of art. Actors and actresses do a love scene and then hook up. It's okay.
By the way, it happens in everything.
I know.
If
that's
you work at Home Depot, there's a whole hierarchy there.
From the
there's
plumbers.
There's the cute girl at the cashier's desk. There's the handsome guy in the loading dock. If you work at IBM, if you work at Microsoft... Everything has its own ecosystem.
Yes.
So it's all just it's all in every industry. And in some industries it's probably more incessant than even the entertainment industry. But everywhere you work, I worked in an office before I did stand up. And the amount of personal jockeying and sort of flirting and cheating and interplay between married and unmarried and the secretaries and the executives and the this and the that. It's a whole ecosystem. We're living organisms. It's like if you go and look at any puddle on the ground or any marsh or swamp, it's swarming with life. It's swarming with relationships. It's swarming with interactions between living entities. It never stops. We're life. It's like when you look at sperm under a microscope, it's just millions of these squiggling things just trying to survive and get somewhere. And that's all we are, you know?
We're sperm.
We're just these things. We're ants crawling around each other and doing our thing and trying to get here and there and protect the nest and hide the eggs and do this and do that. You know what I mean? It's just... We're just this ecosystem of crazy, ravaging bacteria, microorganisms. bone marrow coffees.
It's sitting on the counter.
Oh, God. It's probably crawled off the counter by now.
I can heat it up for you.
No.
Can I buy you a real hot chocolate?
Well, you don't have to go out of your way to prove a point. The gesture is fully accepted and heartfelt.
I feel
because
bad.
It was the wrong concoction doesn't diminish the gesture.
All right.
Yeah, I love the gesture, and in my heart and soul, I have consumed your beautiful hot chocolate.
I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Buddy, thank you.
I
great
appreciate
to see
it.
You, man.
Good to see you. I can't wait for our movie.
Yeah, Wingman.
Yes.
Wingman. And got to have you back on the Harlan Highway soon.
I would love it.
We did it last time. We had a riot.
We had a good time. Yeah. If you didn't see it, go watch his pod, the Harlan Highway. It's killing, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm having a great time. So we'll have to have you back on sometime in the next few months.
Yes.
Yes.
Like and subscribe.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.